Hi, everyone. I'm Jennifer Vine, President and CEO of the Education Foundation of Sarasota County and your host for Education Conversations, where we share ideas on education today and ways to help prepare students to thrive. I want to give a big thanks to Lexis of Sarasota, our sponsor for today's episode. They have been great champions of our work and certainly are entrenched in this community, and we really appreciate the generous support that you provide. And I want to welcome everyone to this episode, Community Partnerships in Action. And so I'm really excited to have two special guests on this episode that I think are going to create some really robust conversation for us around the topics of workforce and economic development. That has been a major theme for our podcast throughout the season. And we're always seeing how the synergies of these partnerships really kind of illuminate and accentuate a lot of impact throughout the community. And so we've got two folks here that are bringing innovative solutions to these areas. And it's really, I think you're going to find some engaging conversation. I'm just setting the bar right now that we're going to have engaging, robust conversations. And so our first guest is Dan Sidler. And Dan serves as the Vice President of Career Edge Funders Collaborative and Economic Development, and that is under the umbrella of the Greater Sarasota Chamber of Commerce, who are outstanding partners with the Education Foundation. And we're so happy, Dan, to have you on Education Conversations. We also have, as our second guest, someone that flew in for this conversation. And we want to know, I know I personally want to hear and learn so much more about her and the organization she represents. And that is Barb Clapp. And she's the CEO of Dwyer Workforce Development. Welcome to Education Conversations to you as well.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I'm so glad you're both here.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have you. So as we start these conversations, we always like to share with listeners a little bit of the background story, because oftentimes your backgrounds kind of bring you to why this work is so important. And so maybe I could start with you, Barb, if you could just share a little bit under the tent about you personally and how this work is so meaningful for you.
Absolutely. So I grew up in an underserved area and had a tricky background. And I made up my mind as a young person that I would try to give a voice to the voiceless for the rest of my life. But I did have to learn how to make money. So I made money for a while and started a couple companies. And while I was doing that, I was also volunteering for things without a voice. So it could be animals. I was on the Maryland SPCA and board and a couple other boards for animals, as well as the homeless board, the board of social service, anything that would require somebody having lack opportunity and then me having a chance to do something to make a difference. My last company I sold in 2021, and I was going to run a nonprofit, and I knew Jack Dwyer, and he said, "What are you doing now?" And I said, "I want to run a nonprofit." And he goes, "Let's talk tomorrow."
Oh my gosh, that really came full circle for you. Then you must have a lot of grit and resilience if you came from, what was your description of your childhood? How did you describe it?
Challenging. I was actually given up for adoption when I was born and lived in a foster home and then was adopted into an abusive family. And as a young person, I decided that this was not how I was going to live, and I was not going to let other people live that way if I could have anything to do with it.
It's amazing when we hear stories such as that, and thank you for sharing that, because the adage that I know is very trite and has been overused, but you choose either bitter or better, and it seems like you took your circumstances and really galvanized that into something that is very meaningful and impactful. So just thank you for sharing that.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I figure if I can do it, other people can do it.
Oh, I love that. That's inspiring. So Dan, now it's your turn.
Yeah.
Okay. Your background.
So I was born and raised in Switzerland, transplanted to Sarasota at the age of 13, went to high school in the region, went to college here at USF Sarasota Manatee. And my professional background is all in chamber work. So I had the opportunity to start at the Sarasota Chamber as an intern.
Oh my goodness.
I had a professor who had this opportunity and shared with me. And, you know, so he said, "Hey, the Chamber of Commerce is looking for a marketing intern." And I thought of you and I said, "Hey, that sounds great. What's a Chamber of Commerce?" But it was a great alignment. You know, at the time I was getting ready to graduate college and thought that this would be a great opportunity to build my network and, you know, potentially grow that into a job offer at some point. somewhere in the community, but quickly fell in love with the work that the Chamber does in serving businesses and community members. Stayed at the Chamber for almost 3 years and had the opportunity to go to the Lake Ranch Business Alliance, kind of the Chamber of Commerce over there. Spent 8 years there, eventually, you know, had opportunity to grow into the vice president there. And then in 2022, had the opportunity to come back home to the Sarasota Chamber under, you know, workforce work for with Career Edge, again, serving our community and continuing to build relationships within Sarasota.
Well, you certainly have very deep roots in Sarasota. If you are a graduate of Sarasota High School and then your entire career trajectory has been kind of homegrown and home developed. So that's a really interesting story as well. So for those listeners who may not be aware of Career Edge Funders Collaborative, can you maybe give us a little bit of a background so that everyone understands what that means?
Sure. Career Edge Funders Collaborative is the workforce development initiative. since 2018 has been a part of the Sarasota Chamber, you know, really working with employers to help upskill their team members, give them additional skill sets or credentials to allow them to move into higher paying positions. You know, truly a win-win, you know, giving the workers an opportunity to advance within their careers, you know, boost their earning potential. But on the employer side, they are filling those mid-level positions that can be challenging and difficult to fill. So, you know, we come alongside them through grant funding and opportunities to enhance their workforce. Within the community space, we partner with education providers to sponsor tuition-free fast-track programs. So in the span of, you know, 6 to 10 to 12 weeks, depending on the program, we can take someone from the community, get them those entry-level skills and credentials so that they can immediately go into one of our target industries. So we are very laser-focused on healthcare, skilled trades, manufacturing, and transportation, you know, really identifying high growth, high wage industries that we can launch people's careers with as they graduate from our programs.
Well, I think it's phenomenal that you all offer that. But what's interesting is you're really looking at upskilling is what one of the keywords I heard you say. So if someone's working then in a trade and they're at an entry level and they do want the fast track opportunity, how do they know about your work?
We promote it, you know, in partnership with a lot of our community partners, right? So, of course, the Education Foundation, Planet, is a great partner of ours. You know, we rely on our network to get the word out, not only through the chamber, but within the community, providing opportunities with our education providers to help them promote these opportunities, and really giving, you know, people an access to this tuition-free training. You know, we take a lot of care to screen and vet these applicants when they come to us. You know, we're looking for individuals who are driven and motivated and want to enter into these jobs. So we, you know, we take a lot of care to not only screen them on the front end, but then along their journey, you know, we really come alongside them to provide, you know, that additional support, whether it be, you know, checking in with them on a nearly weekly basis. How is training going? What can we do to support you? And I think that's where the partnership with the Dwyer Group is so essential, and that we are able to, you know, enhance and boost that support for our trainees.
Well, that's a great segue. So back to you, Barb, and kind of curious, when Jack tapped you on the shoulder and said, I want you to help start this nonprofit, give our listeners a little background of what Dwyer Workforce Development is doing. And then if you can even give us a connectivity back to how it became involved in Sarasota, that would be amazing.
Sure, absolutely. So Dwyer Workforce Development was developed by me. We were not a 501c3, but Jack had the idea. Jack Dwyer, who is actually a resident of Florida, he lives in Melbourne. He also has a business in Maryland, and that's how I got to know him. He was a client of mine with my previous company. He really likes to help people who lack opportunity, and he has been an extraordinarily successful businessman, but also a huge heart. And he's one of those great people that turn out to be great philanthropists. So his idea was to help people who lack opportunity and to improve the catastrophic healthcare staffing crisis. He said, I'm super concerned about people leaving the healthcare industry and all the aging population with no one to take care of them, as well as people who could have a great job and healthcare and have a great trajectory to nurse or whatever if they start as a CNA. He said, so let's start people as a CNA and you figure it out from here. So that's what I did. And we started in Maryland. And our first year I spent becoming a 501c3, building out the nonprofit, doing everything you have to do to get to where you can start training. It was just a team of one. And then it became a team of 2, 3. Now we're a team of 44. And I got fully funded in September of 2022. So since September of 2022, we've trained 6,000 certified nursing assistants in Maryland, Texas, and Florida.
Wow. That is impressive. And then how did you get introduced to Career Edge Funders Collaborative and Sarasota Chamber?
So I'll start with the top. Jack actually knows the governor and was telling him all about what we do, and he liked what we did. And the state of Florida is super committed to workforce. Mm-hmm. And so I had a conversation with Alex Kelly, who got us to the Career Source boards, who were extraordinarily welcoming. And everyone we've met here has been extraordinarily welcoming. And then from there, we started meeting with the different Career Source boards. And my COO, Maria Darby, started making headway and starting the programs here. And then I guess we met Josh Matlock from
Career Source
Suncoast.
Yes.
And he was great. And then he introduced us to you, Dan, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
I think that's so wonderful how even the workforce boards all collaborate together. Career Source kind of has that public persona, if you will, across the state. And then we have the private group that's kind of bubbling up through Career Edge Funders Collaborative and how they work kind of in unison with one another, kind of sharing and caring, kind of distributing the workload. So help the listeners understand, and certainly myself included, Dwyer Workforce is really focused on healthcare and specifically nursing.
Specifically nursing. So we train people to be certified nursing assistants. But I had said to Jack, workforce programs don't technically work well if it's just giving somebody a job. If you have the same barriers that exist before you got the job, after you have the job, you're not going to be successful. Or if you have the same work hygiene that you had beforehand, mm-hmm. or if you didn't even have a role model for good work hygiene, mm-hmm. you're not going to be successful. So one of the things we did from day one was insist on comprehensive wraparound services and person-centered case management. And that has made a huge difference. The other thing we decided to do is to partner. We can do more together. And we decided that any nonprofits that wanted to partner with us, workforce boards, that kind of thing, if we could find a way to team like we have here, then we could actually help the whole person even further. And it's worked out terrifically. We've loved working with this group here.
That's terrific. So Dan, can you give us an example of kind of how Dwyer came in and with a story or an example of a program, something so that we can make it real for our listeners to know the impact on the local level?
Of course, yeah. It's been a real boon to our programs. You know, we already had programs in place in partnership with, you know, Suncoast Technical College. We partnered with Meridian West Central College locally as well to train CNAs. These programs have been ongoing over the years. And again, you know, we provide essential wraparound services as best as we can within our means and our resources. Where Dwyer has stepped in, that's really augmented the support that we're able to provide for these trainees. You know, a couple of examples where they've stepped in is to assist with paying for background checks and drug screenings on the front end for trainees, you know, kind of eliminating those barriers that would prevent someone from stepping into one of these training programs. You know, during the programs, they've provided, you know, Uber rides and, you know, gas cards, things like that, you know, eliminating those barriers that are preventing them from completing the program.
So I want to hear a little bit more about the workforce shortages in nursing. I'd love to hear if you have any data to share so that we kind of can put our heads around to what extent are we facing a shortage?
Sure. You're certainly seeing, you know, professionals leaving the industry. Mm-hmm. Florida Commerce predicts that by 2031, there will be, you know, 8,500 job openings within the Sarasota Manatee region. As the workforce is retiring, kind of that silver tsunami, as they call it,
yes,
you know, there's a real need for skilled workers in our community. And I think that's where we are coming in to try and boost those skilled workers within our community and mm-hmm. really kind of to solve that future need that is really only getting worse and worse as, you know, our population is growing here mm-hmm. in our community and as our community is aging.
But I do want to say that nurses are leaving like crazy. Mm-hmm. It started with COVID mm-hmm. and the burnout got tremendous. And then with the lack of CNAs that are not in our workforce right now, nurses are working down.
Yeah.
They're not working up to their level of training. They run around like crazy. I was speaking to a nurse the other day who is on a critical care unit in a very, very reputable hospital, but she can be there by herself some days. And so she's doing everybody's job. And she said, even if I'm not doing everyone's job, I still don't even have time to go to the restroom. Mm-hmm. So when I don't have a CNA there to help me, it's crazy. And she said, it makes me sometimes think that I want to leave. And I love this with all my heart, but I just can't stand that I can't help people the way I want to because I don't have the time.
Yeah. It's interesting seeing the healthcare is always seems to be up there at the same level as we're seeing with like teacher turnover as well. And some of the working conditions certainly make it difficult to stay. What I found interesting, Barb, in your comment was that the nurses who are working down to the CNA kind of responsibility level, I don't think I ever put that light on that as an issue. I'm always thinking of CNAs as coming in as the entry, and then you're trying to scaffold them up to the higher levels. And so are we seeing that the, you all commented about wraparound services. Are you seeing the wraparound services making a dent, making an impact on those who are entering as CNAs and being able to complete the programs?
Absolutely. You know, our graduation rate is about 85%, you know, of trainees
Excellent.
That complete the program. Just as an example, the very first program that we did together last spring in partnership with Suncoast Technical College, we started with 11 students. We graduated 11 students.
Oh, my
goodness.
And I just,
that speaks to the level of care and additional support that we're able to provide, you know, just given the trainees all the ammo that they need to, you know, complete the programs and then immediately go work into the industries. We also provide relationships with employers. So in each of these programs, we bring in local employers within the industry, you know, for kind of meet and greets. Mm-hmm. You know, not they're not full on interviews, but we're providing that bridge for them to interact with local employers and to set up kind of the foundation for them to get job offers on the back end.
Okay, that's very encouraging. When you look at today's workforce, are you seeing large scales of change other than shortages? Are you seeing any differences in behaviors or work ethos or anything along those lines that you feel are trends that we should be paying attention to?
Well, we know that people do not come to work if they're underserved with good work hygiene. They really just don't. And we have broken our program into several different stages of intake. So right in the very beginning, we establish sort of where are these people that are in our program. And I know we work together with Dan, and they actually do a lot of vetting, like you mentioned earlier, Dan. And you also do soft skills ahead of time, which is super helpful. And you get buy-in, which is also helpful. But we still find that we can get people past the intake process, the barrier assessment, and into training. But then when they get a job, that's where it falls apart. Mm-hmm. We don't give up on that. We call them Dwyer Scholars. And once a Dwyer Scholar, always a Dwyer Scholar.
Wow.
So at that point, we actually track our people all the way through. And that's where the heavy duty coaching that we do
Yes.
makes a difference. I knew I was going to write checks for wraparound services, and we do everything. You know, Yep. we help with food insecurity and all the other things that Dan mentioned. But if they need it, we do it. But the differentiator is the coaching. We have licensed social workers that do all of this. And I hear them on the phone and they're saying, no, you can't walk off a job just because you think somebody threw you some shade. You
right,
can't.
Right.
You're in a healthcare facility. They need you there. They need those numbers. That is not okay. And so I think that it has started to change the behavior that was not there as they grow. And we get them to 9 months and we start working with them to upskill. And we want them to stay in the same job because if you keep jumping around again, you're not going to get that consistent work behavior.
Right.
So then when we get them to 9 months, we start saying to them, let's upskill. Let's think about what you can do next. So you were mentioning working down.
Yes.
And you think of it working up. It is working up too. So when we get them to the upskilling part, we say, what's your dream? Like, what do you want to be? Who do you want to be? And we help them get there. And a lot of our CNAs don't even have their GEDs. So yeah, that's part of the process of growing our CNAs.
I'm so glad you brought that up. And as an education foundation, we also have coaches that are helping our kids move to and through post-secondary completion. And everything you just described on the workforce side is exactly what we see. That coaching, that one-on-one relationship absolutely makes a difference. I am so impressed that you all do it from a workforce standpoint, because it really helps to teach some of the life skills, the professional skills that often without a written curriculum, those who are underserved just don't have that exposure and that kind of expectation. And so I am so impressed with this whole scholars program that you all have initiated. I really think that's very impactful. And you do that in all the different states?
We do. And it is a model that has gotten a lot of national attention for its success. You were asking about numbers. Dan, actually working with his team, that's a very high number, that 85% number. Mm-hmm. But we know that nationally, a CNA only stays in a job. 17% only stay with a job for the first year.
Oh, 17%.
Yes.
Wow.
And we're trending around 85-86%, and it's the wraparound services and the case management and the upscaling. We actually also have this app that we created, and the app is like a gym app that you, if you've ever been part of a gym mm-hmm. app, you get points.
Yes.
You know, if you personal train or if you go to class, right, you get points, right? And then you can buy gear.
Yeah.
Pretty much. That's it. But our app is for our scholars, and they can get points for interacting. So we're trying to teach good engagement with us, because if we are talking to them, we know when things are falling apart.
Right.
But the other thing is we're also trying to teach good work hygiene. So we might ask a question on the app. What's your favorite grab-and-go breakfast? So that they can then interact with us. If they say a chia pudding that they right. put in the refrigerator, they get points for it. And then we found that our scholars have been saving their points for birthdays and holidays. And sometimes they have the option of buying food, toys, gift certificates for themselves. And we try to get them to do that too. Like, take care of yourself, treat yourself once in a while.
Wow, that is fantastic. That. You've been referencing the phrase work hygiene. And can you describe that for those listeners who may not fully understand what you mean by that?
So if you grow up with two parents that go to work every day, and they get you up in the morning and they get you dressed for school, and then you see them leave at early in the morning and they drop you off at school, and then you see them pick you up or you take the bus home and they come home and make dinner together. And that is like the American family. But that's not the reality of a lot of our Dwyer scholars. Actually, a neighborhood in which we source from in Baltimore is one of the poorest neighborhoods on the East Coast mm-hmm. for a number of reasons, but mm-hmm. that's how it worked out. And 68% of the people that live in that neighborhood have never worked or do not have a job. And how do you know how to work if you've never seen anybody work?
Right. Right.
Right. So that's what I call good work hygiene.
Okay.
It's when you learn how you do it.
Right. And just for the listener, she did give air quotes there. She was, I saw her little fingers move on the air quotes of what's the typical. So that's a really good explanation for that. So where do you all see yourselves expanding potentially the partnership? What opportunities are still on the horizon that you see it, you see the vision, you've just not yet implemented it?
Yeah, I think we're seeking to expand the capacity of these programs. You know, through the network of the Chamber of Commerce, we're always looking to get additional employer partners to the table, additional education partners to the table. So I think there's a lot of opportunities still ahead.
Yeah, clinical partners. I will say that we have, you know, started this relationship and would say it's one of our favorites. Mm. It's just such a...
Yeah, oh, shucks, says
oh,
Dan.
Oh, boy. It's fantastic. no, but truly, it just seems to click, you know, and we're really happy with it. And it seems like we kind of complement one another's skill sets.
Oh, absolutely. It really augments, you know, areas of our program where, you know, we wish we could have done more, and Dwyer's come in and helped us do that.
I just think that's so fantastic. And for those listeners, again, who may not have caught this on the front end, but the fact that, Dwyer, you all started really in Maryland, you've expanded to three states, that speaks volumes about how you really come to the ground level. Because, Dan, as you well know, I mean, this all happens at a very strong local level.
Absolutely.
So the way in which you've been able to do that through three states, but bring it down, is very impressive.
Oh, thank you. Well, we're now in seven.
Oh! Just in the course of this podcast, so where else is your presence felt?
So Maryland, Texas, Florida, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania, Delaware, Kansas, upstate New York.
Okay, and was there any common thread between why you chose those different states? Like, is there just the workforce kind of welcomeness or focus? Is it something else? You know, I don't know how you would describe it.
Well, it's interesting. You're on the right track. We have a set of seven or eight criteria that make us decide if we're going to go to another state. It also has to do with scaling for us. You know, we've scaled very quickly, but I'll give you an interesting example if you want to hear.
Yeah, for sure.
So when I first started the program, the nonprofit, we got some national press in the very beginning, and we got a call from this group called Justice Matters in Kansas, in Lawrence, Kansas, and they said, "We like what you're doing. We identify an issue in the state every year that we want to tackle, and we're tackling workforce and aging population, and we want you to come to Kansas." And I was just in Maryland trying to get in Texas and Florida, and I was like, "I'm not coming to Kansas." And they said, "What do we need to do to get you to come to Kansas?" And I said, "Okay, well, here's all the criteria." And they said, "Okay." And they checked in with us once or twice over a year and a half. And then I thought Kansas went away. And then I got an MOU in my email, and we're in Kansas, Lawrence, Kansas.
They really wanted you.
They were awesome.
They gave you the MOU for your signature.
They were awesome. They're really super great group of people. And each year they identify things that they want to work on. And we went and saw it. And they are super successful.
So crystallize all of this for me, because I'm always fascinated when I see innovative people coming together doing great things. So they must be solution focused. I mean, there must be something driving this common thread that's even outside the realm of just, we care about workforce, but these seem like very entrepreneurial, innovative, solution focused partners. I don't know if that's a summary or not.
They're unbelievable. We do work with the workforce board there too, okay, which is the same way, really, yep, really innovative. But they decided they were going to get rid of homelessness in Lawrence one year. And they created these pad villages, and now they don't have any homeless people except for 40 people. They got tired of people being incarcerated for, you know, because they had drug and alcohol problems and did things they shouldn't have done. And so then they built a mental health facility. These people are unbelievable, yeah, really, truly.
That as well. This has been such a great conversation. And I know the Chamber, you all take visits to different cities and towns and everything. So I just love how you've just given us, you shared with us some additional cities to be looking at, because we all want to have thriving economies, thriving communities, and with none of these pervasive social issues kind of holding us back. And so just again, kudos to the two of you all for sparking such a strong partnership and making a difference in our local community.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, we really look at workforce development as economic development. You know, the more that we can enhance not only our residents, but our businesses within the community, we're lifting Sarasota up to even greater heights.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And Dwyer is certainly a valuable partner in that equation. So listeners, I hope you've enjoyed this conversation. I know I have learned so much just talking to the two of you all. So if people want to learn and find out more, so Dan, what is your website where they can learn more about Career Edge Funders Collaborative?
They can go to careeredgefunders.org, or the Chamber website is sarasotachamber.com.
That is easy enough. And then what about Dwyer Workforce Development?
It's dwyerworkforcedev.org.
Okay, excellent. I hope you all check them out. Of course, if you want to learn more about the Education Foundation, you can find us at edfoundationsrq.org. So did I miss any high points before we close out this conversation? Any factoids, anything super important?
We are just grateful to be partnering with Dwyer. Like I said earlier, you know, we get to do great work every single day. You know, our heart and soul is to support our community, and Dwyer has helped us take that to even greater heights. So thank you so much for your partnership.
Thank you. Really, truly, I feel like our hearts are aligned, and it's going to be fun.
Well, it's been great being the moderator of watching this blooming, you know, wedded bliss here happening. I know it's only helping our community at large, and we're just so grateful to have Career Edge as part of our collective with the Education Foundation and Planet Sarasota for sure. So, again, everyone, thank y'all for listening to today's episode. I do want to shout out to Lexis of Sarasota again for all your ongoing support. You guys rock, and for sponsoring today's episode. Please tune in, everybody, to other episodes of Education Conversations wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. So for now, this is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.